Hey there, Sexology listeners. This episode is brought to you by Quince, your go-to for affordable luxury. I have to tell you about my latest find, the champagne silk dress from Quince. It's perfect for date nights, especially in the summer. It looks so expensive and feels like a dream, but you won't believe how affordable it is. Quince is all about high-quality fashion and home goods at a price that won't break the bank. How do they do it? The unique manufacturer-to-consumer model cuts out the middleman, bringing you premium products straight from the factory floor. With Quince, you're not only saving money, but also making a sustainable choice. Plus, they offer free shipping and a 365-day return policy, so you can shop with confidence. Check out their amazing selection at quince.com and grab free shipping plus 365 days at quince.com/sexology. Upgrade your wardrobe without the guilt. Thanks to Quince.
Welcome to Sexology, a podcast that untangles the science of sex and pleasure. And now, with this week's episode, your host, clinical psychologist, Dr. Nazanin Moali.
Hello there. Welcome to episode 391 of Sexology Podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Nazanin Moali. And today's episode, it's about tantric practices. Today in our show, we got Magda K joining us. She's an intimacy expert, tantra teacher, and conscious relating coach. Magda's journey from leaving her corporate gig to diving into ashrams, yoga training, and tantric communities is nothing short of transformative. Through her blend of tantric, yogic, and psychological insight, she's all about helping you tap into your deepest desires for transformative intimacy. In this episode, we'll dive into what intimacy truly means, common relationship mistake, tantric practices for couples, and more. But before we go to our episode, I wanted to give a shout out to our sponsor, FirmTech. As a psychologist and sex therapist, I'm always exploring cool ways to boost sexual wellness. Let me share something mind-blowing. FirmTech's Tech Ring. Worried about bedroom performance? Curious about what works best for you with meds, supplements, exercises, and diets? The Tech Ring isn't your average cock ring. It's the world's first smart one that goes on and off easily with their patented hook and loop closure. Picture this. Track it to hack it, then adjust your dosage. With a Tech Ring, guys can access their erectile fitness score to keep sexual wellness in check and address erectile issues. It's not just for sex. Wear it overnight to monitor nighttime erections for insight into heart and sexual health. The Tech Ring monitors firmness, length of time, and more in the heat of the moment, revealing how factors like relationships, meds, subs, and alcohol impact your performance. Tested it with my partner, and it's a game changer. Easy to use, more pleasure, and intense orgasms. For top performance, the FirmTech Max PR, their non-tech ring, enhances pleasure and endurance. Let's be honest, rings trump pills for most guys, according to FirmTech. Safe, comfortable, and easy to use, smooth texture that glides on effortlessly and closes easily with their loop and hook. If you ask me about a cock ring, chances are I've recommended FirmTech. Try for insight into sexual health and performance and pleasure, and you'll love it. They offered a discount code for our sexology listeners. So head over to the link below, type sexology, and it's going to give you 10% off of their product. All right. Excited to have Magda K on the Sexology Podcast. Let's dive in. Hello and welcome back to another episode of Sexology Podcast. I am so excited to welcome Magda K to our show. Magda, welcome to our show.
Thank you so much for having me.
Well, we're going to talk about lots of interesting stuff, including tantric practices. I know that's something that we get a lot of questions about. But for our listeners to kind of learn more about how you arrived at this place of teaching these skills, tell us a little about your journey.
Yes, but can I just first say something? You have such a sensual voice. It's an absolute pleasure listening to you. I need to make sure that I am not getting distracted. It's lovely. It's so beautiful.
Thank you so much. Oh my God, you built my confidence.
So how did I get to these teachings? I always laugh when people ask me this question because, well, let's be really honest. This is not necessarily something that I wanted to be when I was growing up. I wanted to be a dancer or maybe work in a lab, and here I am today. And it's quite funny because I think, you know, until I was about 30, so at this point, most of my life for sure, I was very shy around sexuality. I would rather try to avoid any conversation related to sex. And quite honestly, I think, you know, until my kind of late 20s, I only had sex when I was drunk. So I would, you know, I try to avoid the conversation, not to go into it. But as often happens in life, the area where we struggle the most, where we have the most resistance and blockages, often turns out to be also the area of our biggest gifts. And so that was the case for me. So, you know what happened? I come from a household where, unfortunately, I wasn't demonstrated a single example of healthy love. Especially watching my parents, I just kind of grew up thinking, I don't ever want to have anything to do with that thing called love and relationships. I stayed away from it. I honestly thought that love was lame. When I saw couples together holding hands and all of that, I thought they were pretending. I didn't believe that was real. And so I pushed it away for a really long time until finally in my late 20s, when for the first time I allowed my heart to take a bit of more control in my life. So I did fall in love. I entered my first real relationship, which ended because I was inorgasmic. And it's just something that he took very personally. And eventually, you know, we started just drifting apart until there was nothing left to salvage. And so when that happened, of course, I was dealing with massive pain. Like, you know, it was the darkest place in my life because I think it was the first time when I allowed myself to feel. And so I wasn't just feeling the pain of this breakup, but, you know, my mom having breast cancer and my father going bankrupt when I was a teenager, all of the stories that I never allowed myself to truly feel. And so I was going into healing and I knew that I wanted to go into sexual healing. Now we're talking more than a decade ago. So things like Tantra, which yes, we will get into, it wasn't really available. I just heard Tantra here and there and I thought it's very exotic and I thought it would make me really cool if I could say that I'm a Tantrika without absolutely knowing what it was. But I was slowly asking questions and learning these weird sexual practices like a yoni massage. In fact, learning about sexual energy, sexual healing, and really wanting this because I could feel that my body needed healing. I could feel that there's this big story of pain and suffering, and there's all of these blockages in me. And I so wanted to release that. And so slowly, 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 I was meeting the right people. I went to India, I went to Bali, I went to Thailand, really diving deep. Like I spent about 6 years living in a tantric community. So really diving deep. And all of it was for my own healing, right? At this point, all I'm looking at is myself. I want to be able to enjoy lovemaking and I want to be able to be in a relationship. And while I was going into those teachings, what I realized is that what our society knows about human sexuality is maybe 30% of our bodies can actually experience. It made me realize how limited our perspective is. And I even talk about sexologists, like the things that we usually study in the West, they're still so limited. No one talks about sexuality types. No one talks about female ejaculation. No one talks about rituals. No one talks about energy orgasm or energy sex. And there is so much. And so I realized that people should know this. And that's why I started teaching this. And this is how I arrived to where I am today.
I love that. What a meaningful, beautiful story. And sometimes people think about, okay, so when sexual part of the relationship is not working, it's only about that part. But one of the reasons I arrived to the place of being a sex therapist, it was because I had sexual dysfunction. And it was really impacting everything in my life. We were just talking about, like, because you live in Poland different places in Europe, and you were talking about Italy being your favorite place. I remember with that lover, when I was struggling, I experienced painful intercourse. We were going to all these fancy places, beautiful kind of restaurants. All I was thinking about, I want to have sex without pain so we can connect, right? Because it was really impacting our dynamic. So sometimes people, I feel like they minimize what they're experiencing. And what you talked about, your partner kind of personalizing it, I hear it a lot. And that's why many women choose to fake orgasms, right? That because they don't want to impact their partner's ego. And I have clients, and I have even friends that are therapists, that they say they've been faking orgasms for years and years, and they don't want to break the partner's heart with saying that they were faking it, but that also they are feeling resentful. They feel that, okay, why I'm not enjoying sex the way I want to. So tell us, how was it to live in tantric communities? What does that entail?
Look, I'll be honest, now that I am out, practically speaking, I would say it was a sex cult, really. It was a spiritual community. Spiritual, it means that we were all practicing a lot of yoga and meditation and breath work. So there was a very solid spiritual practice that was the foundation of everything. But then if you were in the community for a bit longer and you had done enough practices to prepare your body for Kundalini awakening and like these deeper spiritual energy experiences, this is what you would also take part in sexual aspects. So one of the things was that this whole community was practically polyamorous. And, you know, there was some manipulation. And I'll tell you honestly, the school that I was a part of, the whole community, it practically doesn't exist anymore. And they got attacked by a lot of people with claims of abuse and rape, because indeed there was definitely some abuse of power. Let's just say that, like, that definitely was happening. So, for example, the things that were happening was you had a few couples who were not open, and almost like the whole community would judge them. It's like, oh, they're not as conscious. You know, they're too stuck in their karmic blockages because they cannot open their relationship. So that was one aspect. But I will say that I am grateful for that experience, because I think when it comes to the design of our relationships, it's really imposed. People just kind of fall into this, but not many people ask themselves, what kind of relationship I want. So for me, the experience of polyamory was, I actually get to choose what's okay, what's not okay, what this container should be like for me and for us. So that was definitely an interesting experience. And we were doing a lot of rituals. Again, they were all rooted in working with energies, meditation, but it was just highly, highly sexual, because basically tantric sex, I mean, it is a spiritual practice, but it was promoted as a spiritual practice with this idea that, well, you can do yoga for 4 hours or you can have tantric sex. So let's keep telling people to just have a lot of tantric sex, you know? So that's pretty much what it was. It was a lot of fun, incredible opportunity to learn. And, you know, I tried practices which are very, very deep. So we have practices such as deep armoring, which, you know, when we hold painful or traumatic memories in the body, they actually, it's like they physically get stuck in the physical body. And so you can press on those points. And by holding pressure, you can allow these memories and these emotions to come out of your body. So I've had a few of those. I've had a yoni massage. In fact, a few yoni massages, which is a healing massage inside of the genitals. And I remember the most intense one was 4 hours. And I was screaming and I was like trying to fight him, because there was all of this resistance in me, because I was so terrified to go all the way to the root cause and to see my own pain. So the practices were very, very intense. And I got to the point of being incredibly open, because my whole life was about that. And then I chose to step out of this community because there is something that just I didn't align with. And I don't do practices today, so I'm not as open. But it's a bit like a bicycle, right? Once your body learns how to ride it, you know how to ride it. And so the level of openness has stayed with me, for which I am for sure very grateful.
I love hearing more and more about your journey. That is fascinating. And like the critical thinking that you bring into these experiences so that this is the part that resonated with me and this is the part that is just, I don't want to no longer have as my experiences. And what you were talking about, the polyamory community, kind of mirrors what we experience in society, right? Like everyone must be monogamous. And if you're in the other part, there's something wrong with you or there's like loose morals. So I love that you brought up like choosing what works for you in this chapter of life is really, really important. I heard a lot about tantric practices. I use parts of it. As you were talking about yoni massage, one of dear friend of mine, Dr. Tara, talk about it. So if you guys are interested, curious, they can check out that episode. And one thing that I hear after that episode, heard a lot from guys, is that in a heterosexual relationship, what am I getting out of it? So yoni massage is like focus on yoni, which is the female genital area. So what's your response to that?
To those guys specifically, guys, come on. Come on. If you love someone and care about someone and you make life better and easier for them and you're asking yourself, what are you getting out of this? Then why are you with her? Like, why are you in this relationship? Because it sounds like you don't actually love her. If I love someone, if I care about someone, whether it's my friend or my lover, I want to do things for them. That's what I get from this. I get the fact that someone I care about is happy, is healthy. That's what you get out of this. And I'll say honestly, if that is not enough, then you probably shouldn't be in this relationship. I know I'm being harsh here, but I hear these things often. And men say like, oh yeah, it's all about her. I'm like, it's not all about her. But unless you're willing to do something for the other person, you're never going to be in a good relationship. Because if all you're thinking is, what about me? What about me? Then you just want to take. But, you know, I'll give you, okay, let's spice things up a little bit. One of the things that was happening in those communities is sex parties. And so I used to attend and also organize sex parties. And of course, one of the big fears that people have is like, what if I'm left out? I don't know how to engage with people. The advice is always the same. Start by giving. First, be the giver, and then people will reciprocate back. Same in a relationship. Focus on giving to your partner, and then it will come back. Women have more complex sexual needs. It's women who need sexual healing, not men. Like maybe 10% of men need sexual healing, and 90% of women need it. So if she is not having orgasm with you, it's because there's something in her body that is not allowing her that experience. And if you helping her to orgasm makes you go, oh, what's in it for me? Then I would say that you're a horrible lover. Honestly, I'm sorry, but this is the truth. So guys, like I get a lot of comments of this sort on my channel. Guys, come on, you can do better and please do better.
I love that. And you know, what's interesting is that even research shows that when couples start keeping score, right? I did this for you, whether in the bedroom or outside the bedroom, those relationships fail faster. Right. Because I love the idea of whenever you're a generous lover or generous outside the bedroom, that will shift the dynamic of the relationship. And that's very meaningful. And I think like as we talked about, communication can be a tool if you feel like you're the only giver and it's a challenge for you. One of the things that you talk about is very interesting is the difference between intimacy and sex. Because of all of the filter on Instagram, like many sex educators had to change the term sex and intimacy, right? And that's like irritates so many people.
Yes.
And it is different. So tell us, what are the differences?
So I always say that you can have intimacy without sex and you can have sex without intimacy. That's called bad sex. But sex is what you do. Intimacy is how you do things. So for me, the way I look at intimacy is that this is the depth of your experience. And specifically, it's not about sex, it's about everything. So how deeply do you experience life in general? What is your sense of being alive, that sense of aliveness? How deep can you go? So intimacy exists in every moment of your life. So how deep are you going in your experiences of life? So you can have intimacy with every person because it's not sexual. You can have intimacy with yourself and you can have intimacy with life. You can go into forest and just walk fast and maybe be on your phone, or you can actually be in the forest and allow yourself to notice nature and hear nature. Nature, by the way, is really loud. It's very talkative if you choose to listen. There's this beautiful saying, I absolutely love it. Some people experience rain, others just get wet. So intimacy is about experiencing and everything, all of the emotions, the pleasure and the pain. You can't filter that I'm just going to feel this and I'm not going to feel something else. So how deeply can you feel everything? That's intimacy. And so many of us, unfortunately, have sex on a very superficial, strictly physical level. For a lot of people, sex is about releasing the stress. Like there's this buildup of stress and they just want to release that. And both men and women have moments when they're just extremely horny. And it's like this physiological need to like get laid. So most of us really look at sex like this. And so we actually lack true intimacy in our sexual experiences. And again, when you go back to women, like I said before, women's sexual needs are more complex. A woman can have sex and have orgasm, and it's not going to mean that she enjoyed sex. She can have sex, not have an orgasm, but if she experiences deep intimacy, she's going to be satisfied.
Well, you know that, and that kind of align with experience of many women that they say, you know, I'm satisfied, but right now I don't necessarily want an orgasm, right? So it's talking about you can have great experiences and deep intimacy, not necessarily having an orgasm. And I believe that all of us are in a modern world in a polyamorous relationship, right? We have people that we have very close emotional intimacy with that we're not having sex with. And I think that is a very important way of looking at it, because people think about only if I'm having sex, this is the most important relationship, right? But there's so many relationships that they have is just like very intimate, and maybe it's more intimate than the experiences we have with our lovers. So let's talk about Tantra. So tell us, what is Tantra and what are some of the things that people can incorporate in their daily practices? My limited understanding of Tantra is a way of life, right? But let's focus more on the sexual part of it.
So I love this. I love that we first talked about intimacy and now you're asking me about Tantra. I'm going to give you my definition and then let's go a bit more like objectively. So like I said, for me, intimacy is about the depth of your experience of life. And what Tantra is to me, Tantra is the art of being intimate. So Tantra in a way is a pathway to have intimacy in life, to deepen our experience of life. Tantra is basically how we experience intimacy. Now, being maybe a bit more objective and actually speaking about this. So Tantra is a spiritual practice. It's very, very similar in nature to yoga. But by yoga, I don't mean when we put leggings, we take the mat and we go for 1 hour class. This isn't really yoga. By yoga, I mean, like you said, a way of life. It incorporates everything. You know, it's about challenging your beliefs. It's about practicing your third eye focus, working with the chakras. Like the physical yoga that you do, it's all about opening your chakras and preparing the body for the meditation. It's a very different approach. And Tantra is very similar to yoga, and very, like a lot of yogic practices are also tantric practices. So basically tantric practices are those that incorporate the body and the energy. So they're more kind of physical in the experience. Now, an element of this is sexuality. So Tantra was for everyone. Yoga was just for the highest caste, just men. You know, you couldn't have any meat because there are all the regulations there. So you had to be vegetarian and no alcohol. And then Tantra kind of was created in response to that. So Tantra was, okay, it's for everyone, means for lower classes as well, women as well. We're going to basically make space for everything that's considered taboo. So there is space for wine, there is space for meat, there is space for sex. It's this idea that everything is created by the divine and everything is divine. Everything is the manifestation of Shakti, of the sacred divine feminine. So everything by nature has to be divine. And so what's been happening, of course, is that people, especially us from the West, you know, we look at Tantra and hardly anyone in the West is, you know, interested in enlightenment. But we are very interested in better sex because it's a massive collective wounding, which of course you know about very well. That, you know, that's the work that you do. We are collectively extremely wounded around sexuality. We are extremely suppressed. And so people just took from Tantra that one bit that they really want. And I don't know if you heard of this, since I love Italy. There's this thing called the pizza effect. So you had beautiful Italian pizza. And then Americans took the pizza. They kind of bastardized it. They lowered the quality, but they made it popular and commercialized it across the globe. And so the pizza effect basically means that you take a concept and you make it more superficial so it becomes a mass topic. And this is what happened first to yoga, and now it's happening to Tantra. We have taken these teachings, stripped them of a lot of depth, just focused on sex, and then we're spreading that. Now, to be fair, I don't think this is wrong. I don't think it's wrong because we do need more tools for healthier sexuality. And if you told people, oh, take the whole Tantra, do all the practices, no one would want to do it. So fine, just take parts that you need and focus on that. It's still going to have an incredible impact on your life. So these days, when we talk about Tantra, what practically we mean is conscious sexuality or sacred sexuality. So it's not necessarily a spiritual practice. People don't have tantric sex to experience oneness with God. They have tantric sex because they want to feel. They want to feel connection. They want the intimacy. They want to feel alive as human beings. So yes, practically speaking, these days, in a way, Tantra equals sex. But just keep in mind that it is a broader understanding, a broader concept. And the more you can open yourself up to a broader idea of Tantra, the better your tantric sex or sex in general will be. But I will say one thing that is essential. As a spiritual practice, Tantra works with energy. You have to believe in energy. Now, I tell people you don't have to believe that you have a soul, but even in the Western mindset, we do recognize that we have this electromagnetic field. And, you know, for example, I don't know why, anytime I get out of my car and I want to lock it with the key and I like hold the door, I always get like, you know, shut by electricity. I don't know what it is, but we have these moments. Sometimes you touch someone, another person, a wall, right? And it's like, oh, you can feel the current because you have an electromagnetic field. And so you have to be open to the idea that your body has energy, that there is such a thing as sexual energy that flows through your body, because that's what we work with. That's like the teachings of Tantra are about your energy, so that sex can go beyond just the physical experience and can also become an energy experience. So that is what Tantra offers us.
Well, you know, what was interesting is that, as you said, many people think about tantric practices as a form of having sex, right? Like it's a position. A few months ago, I had this couple that they were talking about. They were like heated argument. And the husband said, like, you're not open to sexuality. I wanted to kind of like have this tantric experiences with you. And the wife was so funny. She said, like, call it what it is. You want to try this position. No, this is not tantra.
That's so
going
so
back
funny.
To what you're saying, right? People have this idea of like, okay, this is our tantric sexual experiences, and they hyper focus on that. I love that you talked about spirituality pieces of it, like sex and spirituality. I know that in some psychological teaching, they talk about peak experiences, like peak human experiences. And one of the professors were talking about, you can have those peak experiences like different ways, and sex is one of that, and one of those methods. So like, how can people use it as a form of spirituality?
So, okay, we're going deep now. Okay, this is exciting. So it all comes back to the idea of energy. So we have life force energy. This energy is what keeps us alive. And if you look at kids are full of life force energy and they're extremely magnetic. We love being around kids. And young people, youth is very, very attractive. Notice that we have natural repulsion to old people. There's something like there's less energy, there's less life. And in fact, we slow down when we get older because we have less fuel. And eventually when there's no more life force, that's when we die. And so when you have this understanding that you have this energy and that you can also work with this energy, you can manipulate it, you can increase it, you can feel it, this is when things get interesting. So what enlightenment really is, if we take it away from any like religious experiences, it's realizing that we are one with the world. And what is meant by that is that we are all made of the same substance. We're all made of energy. And I understand that as a concept, when I say this like this, it may really not make a lot of sense, it's one of those things that you just have to experience to really understand. So it becomes a bit of like theory, you know, but this is what theory is. And when you have these moments of enlightenment, because enlightenment also isn't a state, like a constant state. People usually enter enlightenment. They have sneak peeks into the enlightenment state. Then they come out. And then you learn to stay longer in those states. And eventually, extremely advanced monks and yogis and spiritual practitioners, they can stay in that state of enlightenment for multiple hours or days, even with their eyes open, talking to you. They can still be so connected. I've had glimpses, I've had moments, but they lasted a few seconds in this reality. But one of the things is this sensation there's no time. Like time and space, it just is. But it's this feeling of connection. And when you realize it's all one, it's really one and the same. And so when we have sex, we are activating our sexual energy, which is the most potent energy you have in your body. This is the energy that creates life. If you look at science, we have mastered so many things. We can clone animals. We can freeze the eggs, right? If someone wants to have babies later, like some of the things we can do, it's crazy. Yet we still don't know how to create life. That is still something that we haven't mastered. It still remains a miracle. And it's your sexual energy that creates that miracle. So sexual energy is the creative force. It's literally the substance from which everything is created. This is why through connecting to our sexuality, we're also opening our creativity and sense of aliveness. Notice that people who are most sexually attractive or like attractive in general, most magnetic, these are people full of life. They feel alive because it's this energy. And so the more you can activate this energy and feel it, it's like you're opening the channel to God, universe, divine, call it what you want, because you're working with the primary force. So this is why it's the fastest. You can meditate for a long time because you're also working with energy. You can do breath work. But if you have sex using certain, you know, specific tools, because you need to be able to pull the energy in through your body, you need to clear your body from blockages so the energy can move through all the chakras. So there's also a process for that. But you're working directly with the energy that created you and the whole universe. So it's like you're going straight to the source. And because we enjoy having sex, it's the easiest way to build the energy, right? Because if I tell you meditate for 5 hours, you're probably going to resist it. Not many people resist lovemaking. And so it allows us to get there faster.
Fabulous. And I love that you're talking about this enlightenment being a kind of like place that you can arrive through different ways, whether it's meditation, whether it's tantric practices, and definitely experience it through sex. I think that's going to be also something that's on its own can be very motivating. So for couples that they want to have these kind of like tantric rituals, tantric experiences, where can they start? What are some of the practices do you invite them to engage in?
So I think the best way to start is by bringing moments of awareness. So during sex, it may be a bit difficult, although you can do that too. So what I recommend is, before you have sex, have a bit of a meditation together and then have a bit of a meditation after sex. So what do I mean by this? Normally, we just jump into the experience. And it's like with everything, right? If you think of food, one of the ways we're taught to be more mindful about how we eat is, you know, before you take the first bite, just pause, take a breath in, center yourself and be present. So this is the same thing. Sit with your beloved, close your eyes for a moment. You can hold your each other's hands. And for just 5 minutes, if you can do 10, 15 would be better, but just 5 minutes. And maybe one partner guides both of you through a little meditation or just, you know, close your eyes, relax your body. Let's take a few deep breaths, you know, center yourself in your heart, feel the, like one of the beautiful things is imagine a ball of light in the middle of your chest, in your heart space, breathe into that ball, expand it through your chest. And now move this ball of light down your body into your sex, into your genitals. And again, breathe into this, breathe into your genitals, expanding this ball of light. And this you can do for 5 minutes. So it activates you. It makes you more present. And you'll see that you're not going to just rush mindlessly into sex. And then after sex, ideally, when you're done, lie down with your eyes closed. Don't do anything. Don't move. Even better if you don't touch each other, so you're in your own space. And with your eyes closed, consciously with intention, take a moment of awareness of what just happened. What did you feel? What did you experience? And how you feel now? That is a beautiful place to start. Basically, we're bringing more awareness and presence into lovemaking, because that's the essence. Like you said before, it's not a position. It's the presence. It's the essence of tantric sex. Next, we can play with specific tools. There are ways to move your body, to breathe, but the core is the presence. You know, sometimes some of my girlfriends, for example, come to me and they say, oh my God, Magda, I was with this guy and he's like, he never heard of Tantra, but like, he's like a tantric lover. It's not that he knows any specific techniques, but these men, they have a natural ability to be very present. And because of that, they're very in tune with their lover. And so the connection is much, much stronger. So you're more compatible. You're more aligned and you flow better together because of that receptivity. So that's what we want to cultivate. Mostly.
I love that. And, you know, I've experimented with kind of like a sync breathing, those kind of things during sexual experiences and with having your hand on lover's chest. I found those very, very powerful and actually very intimate. At a conference, we were doing, so I'm part of a sex therapist conference, and in the mornings they do tantric meditation. And like, you know, we're doing a lot of things in the sex conferences. So we're like very open people. But I was doing this exercise with a colleague and I was like, oh my God, this is very intimate. And it's just like doing these things can kind of like really connect you with the partner. So it would be interesting for people if they experiment with it, with doing it on a more regular basis at the beginning and the end, how would that impact their experiences? And I can imagine like any type of mindfulness practices, maybe you slow down at the end and you notice that you don't like it, right? So it's not always about kind of experiencing this kind of like amazing kind of like experience, right? It's just kind of like really being present on what's happening for you.
Absolutely, because we need to be honest about the experience. And, you know, it takes us back to the beginning of faking orgasm. We have to own what the truth is, because if you're experiencing something that you don't like, your body remembers that. And in a way, your body will not just forgive you like that for ignoring it all the time. So your body needs you. Your body needs you to step up for the body, like stand up for yourself. And yeah, it's about, like with everything, it's about eliminating the experiences that you don't want and bringing the experiences that you want. But you need both. You absolutely need both. Yes. But I will say this, sometimes what Tantra is also about, or the state of openness, is that you can be open to everything. Like I was talking about intimacy, right? You can be intimate with everything. When you're open enough, you can find ecstasy even in pain. So let's say you cut your knee very badly. Like, you know, when I lived in Asia, so often people had badly accidents on scooters, you know, so you're scratched or you're in so much pain. And if you practice Tantra, meaning you're intimate with the pain, because you're opening yourself to the sensation, you can actually experience orgasmic bliss. So I think it's interesting just to know that you don't have to resist anything and you don't have to fight for anything specific. As long as you open yourself to life in whatever form, you can feel pleasure. We have that ability to, this is called transmutation. We can change the pain into ecstasy, loneliness into ecstasy. We have this capacity. Again, this is what Tantra is about. We learn to work with energy in all these ways.
I love it. And Magda, I know that you have a lot of content on these topics. You have your book, which we were just talking about. So if people want to learn more about your book, teaching, what are some of the places they can find it?
So I am very active on YouTube and I would definitely invite everyone there. I have an array of conversations from dating tips, even though I'm not specifically a dating coach, but I know people really want this. I started adding some content on this as well, all the way to speaking. I teach a lot about non-ejaculation, for example, and energy sublimation, what energy orgasm is, and some basic practices for people to start practicing Tantra. So for sure, would love to see you guys on my YouTube channel. You can just search for Magda K. You'll find me. Would be amazing to see you there. Also love connecting with people on Instagram. Like these are my main two channels. Instagram is more personal. So you guys are getting like personal insights into my life that only happen on Instagram. And this is Magda K Official. And yes, thank you so much for mentioning my book. So guys, you are actually very, very lucky listening to this conversation now, because I am celebrating 1 year anniversary of publishing my book. My book is called No More Faking It. It's a cheeky name because it's not just about faking orgasms. It's about how much we actually fake in life. It's about this tendency that, you know, you put a smile and you pretend everything is fine. And we don't say anything. We don't speak up. We're just like, I don't want to like make things difficult for anyone else. The book is for women. I've had a lot of men read it as well. And I love you guys for doing this, because I love when we want to learn about each other more. But the book is written for women. And honestly, I wish that every woman could get her hands on that book. It's a pretty small book, as in like it's an easy read, but it's a system that I developed of working with your body, working with what you discover are your four power centers. And in my opinion, the best and maybe even the only way of really finding this place where you're 100% yes or 100% no, meaning you're in your full alignment, in full respect of your truth. Because normally the way we move through life is that a part of you wants something and a part of you doesn't. And so we're just like, oh, fine, let's do this. But you're always either abusing or denying a part of yourself. And that destroys your self-esteem. And when our self-esteem is trashed, that's when we make the worst decisions in life and we pick the worst partners. And so for me, this book is so important because it rewires things at the root level. Like, learn about yourself. Know what your actual needs are, what your actual boundaries are. Understand how to design your life to honor that. And then everything changes. And it's the system is so important in our lives, but I cannot stress enough how important it is in your sex life. Because crossing your boundaries in sex, it's 1,000 times more powerful than crossing your boundaries in any other area of your life. Because when you cross your boundary or you allow someone to cross them or even bend them, you're creating micro abuse. And when you have enough micro abuse, it's an actual abuse. And your body reacts as if you were properly abused. Most women are in that state. Most, because we've all been penetrated too fast. We've all said, yeah, let's do it, while we didn't actually want it. That has to change. And so the book, No More Faking It, to celebrate 1 year anniversary, we actually have the Kindle version for $1, but it ends this month. So guys, if you want it, go to Amazon right now to get your version for just $1. Again, it's $1. It's nothing. Give it a try. Look, the worst thing is you're going to hate the book, which I really doubt that you would. But you might just find a system that will change your life.
Well, thank you so much for being so generous and offering it to our listeners and reducing the price and sharing your secrets with us. So thanks again for your time. And this was such a lovely conversation. Hopefully we'll have you in our future episodes.
Thank you so much. And I just want to say thank you also for what you're doing. You know, we chatted about this before as well, how we cannot use the word sex or sexuality. We use the word intimacy. There's so much censorship, and it's an important movement. And I love meeting people who are a part of this, because it's so needed, so needed. So thank you. Thank you for having this podcast, for having these incredible conversations, and for allowing me to be a part of it.
Thank you for all you're doing. As we conclude this insightful episode on intimacy and tantra, I hope you gained valuable knowledge on how to deepen your connections and enhance your relationships. Remember, intimacy is more than just physical. It's about emotional and spiritual connection as well. If you're inspired to incorporate tantra in your daily sensual practices, Magda has provided some wonderful exercises to get you started. By embracing these practices, you can transform your intimacy and bring new levels of closeness and understanding into your relationship. Before we go, I want to thank our sponsor, FirmTech. Their cock ring, designed by a physician, is the best on the market. For listeners of the Sexology podcast, you can grab a 10% discount by using the code Sexology at checkout. Thank you for joining us today. If you enjoyed this episode, please leave us a review and share it with anyone who might benefit from this discussion. Thank you for tuning in, and I'll talk to you next week.
Thanks for listening to the Sexology Podcast. For more great content, visit www.sexologypodcast.com. Please be advised that information presented on this podcast is not a substitute for seeking help from a licensed mental health provider.